Jesus, we're grateful to be here in your presence among your people, Lord, and I pray that as we press into your word this morning, that you reveal some things to us that will speak to the deep part of our heart, something that will cause us to bring change in our life, Lord, to the point that we walk out a little bit different, a little bit better off than we were before. I know, Lord, we don't get more saved, but we surely can live out this life as a believer and a little bit stronger, a little bit more confidently than we did when we came in. And Father, that's my prayer, that we live in confidence towards you, and our trust in you is so great, and our faith is built up towards you to the point that, Father, we know that nothing is impossible with you. And Father, we praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. Amen. So I want to start out by talking about something you probably heard of before, especially if you've been around Christendom, you know, the Christian world for very long. You probably heard of the word complacency. Okay, complacency. It's something that gets used in the body of Christ most often to refer to kind of a state of being sort of indifferent. Okay, sort of, I guess that's probably the word I'm looking for, indifferent towards the things of God. Okay, and it kind of describes the Christian believer that has maybe grown a little cold. Okay, maybe a little apathetic, okay, in their walk with God. Maybe apathetic to the will of God. Okay, and not so long, so much looking for and longing for the will of God to manifest and for His glory to shine. Sharing Christ with people, when you get to that point, often, it just isn't happening, okay, at least as much, because a complacent Christian has often lost the sight of that divine calling on their life. Okay, everyone is called to be an ongoing ambassador for Jesus Christ. Okay, we don't like get to put our hat off and on and change up and say, well, I'm not going to be a believer. I'm not going to be a Christian today. Every day we're a believer and a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so we want to be able to share then with people around us to be able to help encourage them. An online dictionary actually defines complacency as a feeling of smug or uncritical satisfaction with oneself or with one's achievements. Okay, a feeling of smug or uncritical satisfaction with oneself or one's achievements. In other words, it is the point when the desire to achieve new, greater, bigger, better things, that desire to achieve or accomplish literally anything more than what you've already accomplished simply isn't there. Okay, it's that point where Christians at some point, some at least, get to when they either mistakenly assume that they have arrived. They pretty much know everything they can know about God, and so if you want to know something, just ask them. Okay, it involves a little pride with that, right? So it either is when the person gets to that point where they think they've arrived, they think they know everything they need to know about God, or most often, it is a little harder to recognize for the believer themselves. They're not purposely saying, I've arrived or I've achieved something. They simply don't realize that they've grown complacent or that they've grown apathetic, okay, toward their spiritual growth. You know, they may be kind of sitting idle, maybe just going through the motions, but no real expectation for growth is part of their personality or part of their, you know, personality is not the right word there, but part of their attitude doesn't involve spiritual growth anymore. It's kind of like, I'm just going to church because it's Sunday morning. Okay? And there's a lot of that, right? A lot of people just go to church. It's Sunday morning. This is what we do. Okay? And that apathetic part of that is that, you know, we've gotten to the point where it just has become mundane. It's just what we do. Okay? But that heart for growth really isn't there. Now, this is a dangerous place for Christians, especially if they're not aware of it. But I don't want to confuse that with godly contentment. Okay, because the Bible talks about godly contentment, right? When the Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:6, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay, and so the Bible talks about being content. Okay, and we're going to talk about that maybe in a week or two. We'll get into something. I want to talk about resting in the Lord and being content with things. But in this passage, when Paul is talking to Timothy, a lot of people like to quote this, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain, you know, that we should just be content. But when he was talking to Timothy, he was clearly referring to a natural, physical world contentment. Okay, because his very next statement to Timothy was this, 1 Timothy 6:7, he said, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Having therefore food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Okay, so he's talking about your physical stuff around you. Okay, now what is all this complacency and bringing this up, complacency and comparing that to true contentment, and what does it have to do with spiritual warfare in the life of the believer? Okay, I want to explain it to you because it has a lot to do with it. For one thing, being content with such things as you have in the natural, okay, like Paul is talking about here, being content with such things as you have in the natural sense frees you up to pursue the things that you're still lacking in the spiritual sense. Because as long as you're pursuing this physical stuff, you will not pursue the kingdom of God. Okay? You're trying to meet a need in your own life. Okay? The things of this world we know are going to perish. Okay? Even our physical body, right? We get a new one. Okay? So things are going to perish. You can't take things with you. Okay? But the things of God, they're spiritual. They never perish. They are eternal. Right? The things of God are eternal. So when people are dissatisfied with sort of their natural everyday life, the physical part of life, they focus on fixing it. Okay? If you know, think of your body even, you've got a hurt leg or something, you focus on that quite a bit. You kind of want that to get better. You focus on that physical part. Or, you know, in other ways, it might be, maybe you feel like in the natural realm, you just don't have enough money, okay? So you must make more money, and you make a goal of trying to fix that part of your life, or getting a better job, or losing weight. That's a big one we focus on a lot. Finding a mate, okay? Or fixing your current mate, okay? How many people try to do that on occasion? You know, we're fed up, things aren't going the way that we thought it should, we want to fix that. Some people, it's overcoming emotional distress. Okay, something has stressed you out, bogged you down, and all you can think about is, I got to fix this. I got to solve this problem. If I just had whatever, better job, a different, you know, boyfriend, whatever it is, it would fix that, and then I could pursue the things of God. Okay, some people want to just, they focus so much, I got to straighten out this relationship, then I can move on with my life. Then I can seek God. Then I'd have time to go to church. Then I'd have time to read my Bible or to pray or worship or whatever it is. Okay, they tend to focus on things that have to do with obtaining satisfaction in their life, and they leave fulfilling God's will on kind of the back burner. Okay, I got to fix this first, God, and then, you know, or maybe they're just going to God with that. God, we got to fix this. We got to fix this before I could ever, you know, serve or love or do things in ministry or whatever it is. And so they focus on the problem and leave God's will, his overall will for what he wants you to be doing out of the picture. The very next verse here in Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. He says, "But they that are rich fall into the temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after the things of God, the things like righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." And Paul says, fight the good fight of faith by laying hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul is admonishing us to fight the good fight of faith. This is where the warfare comes in, because we have to fight for faith, okay, for our faith. We have to figure this out, and hopefully by the time I get to the end of this, you'll have a better grasp of it. We need to fight the good fight of faith, he says, by laying hold on eternal life. Think about that. Laying hold on eternal life. To lay hold on, you look it up in the Greek, it means to seize with full intention of use. So to lay hold on eternal life means you will completely sell out, seize, lay hold on living the eternal life here on earth. Okay, that's what he's saying. Fight the good fight of faith by laying hold on eternal life and living, seizing with the intention of using and doing something with it now. Okay, so while we can live a carnal life, okay, caught up in the things of the world and the flesh, we can live a carnal life and still go to heaven. And that describes perfectly that complacent Christian, okay, and kind of the way that they go through life. But we are called, and we should feel this sense of compulsion to live on earth with an eternal mindset, that it's more than just this little piece of life that we live, that there's an eternal, eternity that we're living in and for. Okay, we should live with an understanding that this life on earth is very, very short. Okay, we should get to the point where we're living with a hope and an expectancy and a faith that includes the whole life that we live as a believer. Okay, now everybody's going to live eternally. The saved go to heaven, the unsaved don't. So everybody's living an eternal life. Wouldn't it make sense to put a little focus on the eternity? Okay, because this life's pretty short, eternity's pretty big. Okay, I have a little video I'd like to show you this morning just to help illustrate that. I found another pastor, Francis Chan, that actually put it out there and did a real good job of explaining it. So I have Bob pull that up and we'll watch a short video here.
Bring an illustration that, this is like the first illustration I did. It was 20 years ago, but I can't think of a better way to explain it. I actually didn't use a rope back then. I used remember computer paper when it was all stuck together and it had the holes on the side that you had to peel off? Remember that? I remember getting a roll. Some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, which is crazy to me. But because that was the best, you know, and it never worked right because of the rolling things. But I remember being a youth pastor and I put that computer paper all the way around the room, but I'm going to use a rope now because I can't find that computer paper. Imagine this rope, okay? Pretend this rope just goes on forever, okay? Just imagination. Pretend it goes around the world a few times. It doesn't. It ends at the rock. Let's just imagine this thing goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on earth. You've got a few short years here on earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. This is your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about all this stuff? It's crazy to me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all the stuff I could enjoy. I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner just looking at that moment when I face God. Because when I face Him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth. And it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life down here. See, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I'm going, no, you're stupid because that's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look. I look at the way people live and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're gonna do that right now, just to enjoy right now, not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb? It doesn't make any sense. Paul goes, I'm not going to look around at all this stuff. And it's tempting. It's tempting to all of us. That's what I'm saying. Down here, it's crazy because everyone lives that way. Everyone lives for the red part. No one's thinking about the millions of years afterwards. It's just this crazy deception that we can't get out of our minds. And Paul goes, I'm not doing that. He goes, I keep my eyes on that. I keep my eyes on that finish line, and I'm going to forget what's behind me. I'm not looking around. I'm straining. He goes, I'm straining forward. I'm like stretching forward for that mark. I'm going to pass this thing. I'm going to live this out, and I'm going to face him. I'm going to come before the judges, and he's going to hand me that trophy. He goes, I'm going to get it, and I haven't gotten there yet. He goes, but you better believe I'm using every muscle, exerting every bit about me, because I'm going to pass that line well. Oh, man, what am I going to look forward to at the end? I'm going to bring in eternity somewhere else.
This is
your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, think about is this red part. And this little red part detests my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all the stuff I could enjoy. I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner, just looking at that moment when I face God. Because when I face him, then I don't get this chance over again.
There we go. Amen. Gotta love it. That'll work.
Be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life on this. Look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so...
Amen. So he puts a good illustration together. And there's longer parts of this video, but he does a really good job putting that part of it together for me, that this life that we live is so short in compared to all of eternity. And yet we spend so much time really focused on this, that little part, that little red part, trying to think we need to do this and do that and get all these and accomplish all these things, and really gets to be about us, and it really gets to be about this world that we're living in right here, right now, and we lose sight of eternity. Because In the whole scheme of things, this life is just the blink of an eye compared to all of eternity. Okay, most of the believer's life is going to be spent in eternity, okay, in eternal life, not on earth. Okay, so rather than becoming or staying content with the functions of this life, the sort of nuances, this physical life, okay, and getting caught up in that, we ought to rather continually strive to walk out the spiritual life that we've entered into, okay? Because we're going to live forever, right? Because of our relationship with Christ, we get to go to heaven and live forever with him. So we need to focus more on the spiritual life. You remember Galatians 5:24 says that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We don't live for the flesh anymore, okay? If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit, okay? Compelling us. Remember your eternity, okay? Remember the long life that we get. Now, this scripture that Pastor Tanya referred to in that video was out of Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. See, Apostle Paul is saying, this is the way that I live my life, not as though I had already attained, okay? He doesn't get complacent because he hasn't already attained, and either we're already made perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and simply reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now that word apprehend in the Greek is kind of a cool word to say. It actually is katalambano. Katalambano. Okay? And it means to lay hold of. Okay, we already talked about laying hold of eternal life. Okay, to apprehend means to lay hold of, seize, and fully comprehend what you just grabbed. Okay, I can grab my coffee mug and I know that this is a coffee mug, right? Or a thermos of some sort. Okay, I can grab that and fully understand what it is and what it is in my hand for. Paul is saying he has apprehended one thing. He fully grabbed onto one thing, and he told us about apprehending or laying hold on eternal life. Okay, get a glimpse of it. Get a hold of it. Paul said he had learned to live his life on earth in a way that expressed that he knew what he had a hold of and who had a hold of him. Okay, and he had apprehended what Christ had saved him for. Okay, now some people think, yeah, I just did it so I go to heaven. That's a good answer. Okay, it's a good thing to have happen, but there's so much more to this life than just going to heaven. Okay, there's people around us that we are leading and encouraging in their relationship to go on as an ambassador for Christ. Because our life is not just about this short life on earth. Okay, but it's all about the spiritual and eternal purposes that God has saved us for. So to fight the good fight of faith, that implies that it's not just something that is going to happen with an apathetic attitude. If we don't consider ourselves to be spiritually growing, if we don't see the need to grow anymore in Christ, we've grown apathetic. And we are not fighting for the faith. Okay, we're not fighting that good fight of faith and reaching out towards what is before us. Remember that the Word of God tells us that the flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another. They're sort of at odds with each other. So we are to connect with God in the spiritual realm. We're born of the Spirit. We're saved. We live that He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. Okay, now we know that God is a Spirit, correct? Okay, so we connect spiritually in the Spirit by faith, which is spiritual, with God, who is a Spirit, empowered to do so by the Holy Spirit. Okay, do you see where the Spirit is eternal? The Spirit isn't going to die. Okay, when even your body perishes from this earth, your spirit goes on. It doesn't die. Okay, so if we get too caught up in a worldly, earthly mindset where we're focused on the circumstances of life more than we are focused on maintaining our spiritual life, our heavenly and eternal focus, if we start doing that, then we have strayed from the Spirit and walking by faith and have become walking more according to the ways of the world. Okay? Complacency is simply a tool that the devil initiates. It's something that he throws in there to try and squelch your number one strategy for victory in maintaining your eternal mindset, which is your faith. Okay? Because if the devil can stray you off of faith and get you to start thinking about this world and I got to fix this and fix that myself, and you begin to leave God out of the picture, he has taken away your faith. Okay? Now the battle is on right now for you to walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, the battle is on for you to trust God and His Word above all else. The devil wants you to believe and trust in anything or anyone besides God. Okay, because when that happens, then he is gaining ground in that believer's life, creating and promoting that complacency where you don't really need anymore. You've already believed once. That's all the further you have to go. You know, in your Christian life, it's by faith that you were saved initially. And it is by faith, another place in the Bible back this up, it is by faith that we now live out our life, okay, as a believer, okay? And it is by faith that we live out our entire time on this earth. You know, you might think, well, you know, Pastor's talking about trying to live with an eternal mindset, kind of like a heavenly mindset. You know, I don't really know what that means, how to live like I'm in heaven, but I'm still on earth. Okay, the answer is simple. You live by faith. Because faith is what initiated your entrance into the kingdom. Faith is what you live by. Faith is how we live it out now on earth. You don't have to have everything all figured out. Okay, you can live by faith now. Okay, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know everything. You can trust God by faith that God knows everything, that He's got things figured out. Okay, we don't have to focus on the worldly possessions and trying to obtain more and all those things when, like Pastor Chan said, that's only this big compared to the whole eternity. And that rope in that room probably went, you know, 50 feet, in reality goes around and around the world and over again. That's how long it is. Okay? We want to have an eternal mindset, because there are people every day that are perishing. They're not on their way to heaven. Okay? They don't know any different. They're just living life, living for this world, living their life right here, right now. And they don't even know that they're not on their way to heaven when they die. They don't try to think about that. You ever ask somebody that is, I'll call them lost, somebody that is lost, and you ask them about, where are you going to spend eternity? Well, I don't know. I'll figure it out when I get there, kind of thing. And they just put off that thought of, I'm going to die someday and meet the Maker. Okay, I'm going to find out if Darwin or God was right. You know, I'm going to, they don't realize they're going to get to that point. Okay, we have to focus on the eternity, because God saved you with a purpose. Okay, you were saved on purpose for a purpose. Okay, God has something He wants to do in and through your life. Okay, and that is the purpose of sharing Christ with some of these people around you. As you live by faith, you reveal Christ to them. Okay? As you live by faith, you reveal Christ to the people around you. Because you proved to the world at one point, you proved to the devil, to yourself, and especially and ultimately to God, that you were willing to apply your faith to believe on the completed works of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. At some point, you did that. You became a believer that way, and now you live like a believer, living out your faith day by day by day. Okay, trusting in God more and more and more. Okay, letting your faith build up to the point that, you know what, the things of the world simply don't bother me anymore. They don't stress me out. I'm not worrying about this or that. I've got faith. I'm trusting in God. God's got it figured out. I don't have to solve all these problems. God will put things in the right order. He'll begin to work things out. Okay? You're in an intimate relationship with an invisible God. He's invisible, and yet He's all-powerful and all-knowing. And we seek Him by faith. Right? That's the only connection we've got with God, is by faith. Now, sometimes we don't always feel like seeking God. Okay? We don't always, you know, feel you know, just all encouraged, man, I just want to grow today. Okay? Sometimes people feel a little bit withdrawn. They feel kind of cold towards God, kind of erring on that complacency I mentioned earlier. Okay? They almost have to force themselves to come to church or to read their Bible or to pray or to worship God. And yet there's other times when they're on fire. They just can't help but pursue the things of God. They're excited to tell people about what God has done in their life. Okay, they want to go to church. They want to be around God's people. I met a guy last night that, man, I hope that he lives that way all the time, but he was just on fire for God. He was a worship leader, and he was. We got to talking, and you could just see the gleam in his eye. The guy just loved Jesus, loved to worship, encouraged, and you know, was telling me about people that he had shared Christ with even at this reception. And, you know, he's just, that's his life, and he lives it out that way. And I believe that that's probably the way that this guy is all the time. Okay, well, sometimes you get up on those, kind of that high where you want to be around people all the time. Okay, but that sort of up and down spiritual life, okay, is hard on Christians. To be up here and, wow, everything's great, and then 2 weeks later or whatever it is, we're kind of down here where we're not feeling it anymore. We're having to kind of struggle through, and we begin to get down on ourselves sometimes thinking, what's wrong with me? Why am I not seeking God? Why is life not as grand as it was a month ago or whatever it is? What changed? I can't figure it out. And we start getting down on ourselves. People get pumped up. They feel great in their walk with God. And then at other times, they're so down in the dumps that it's really a struggle. Well, I'll tell you, I've learned something over the years of being a believer. Something that comes from, some of it from personal experience of that up and down stuff, but even more from studying God's Word, looking at the life of Jesus, looking at the lives of the disciples and Paul and Peter and some of the apostles and studying their lives, you begin to see none of this stuff. Okay? Paul's in prison. Peter's in prison. He's still worshiping God. Could have been a bad day, but it wasn't. Okay? And so you don't see this stuff anymore. And so I started thinking about what it is that helps to get us there. Okay, what it is that helps us to keep more of a stable walk with God. Okay, because I don't believe that we are meant to swing up and down. There'll be times, I kid you not, where you know you go to conferences, you do things, and man, it really, you get kind of pumped up. Okay, but as a young Christian, I used to go to a lot of conferences and a lot of big name speakers with my friends as a kind of a young Christian, and just trying to learn and grow. And man, this is great. And we'd go to these conferences, and we'd go see them, and we'd get pumped way up. I kid you not, the car was almost floating home from some of these. You get so exuberated in the things of God, and man, life is awesome. And then you get back to reality, okay? You got to go back to work the next day, or that Monday, or whatever it is. And then you go to church the next week, and well, it's not quite as grand as what, you know, we saw there. They had lights and smoke and the whole thing. And then you go back, and your ministry maybe is not quite like that. And that kind of dump would come in. And so you go from way up here, and all of a sudden you get to reality, and then you go a little bit lower. And what ends up happening is sometimes Christians are worse off after they get back from that a few weeks later, a week later, or whatever, than they were before they even went to it. Okay? So I know in my case, I would sometimes go to a conference, and I'd be at this level. Okay, and I'd go, we get all pumped up, and you get way up here, and this is awesome, life is great. And then you get back, and all of a sudden it starts going down, and reality kicks in, and pretty soon you're down less than what it was when you even went to that conference. Okay, now what works better, and what I found that helps to keep the even keel in a Christian's life, is when you realize, and I've said this, I know to some of you many times, that we're in a marathon and not a sprint. Okay, and so when you think of it that way, that, you know what, we've got this life on earth and we're going to grow as a Christian, we want to figure it out that when you go and you start at this level and you encounter something like that, really good teaching, you watch a video, you go to a conference, you hear a good message or whatever it is, it builds you up. Okay, not throws you up here and keep, you know, and what keeps this from happening is emotions. Keeping them in check to the point that I don't let my flesh be ministered to and my flesh take it on as, you know what, this is great and this is where I want to be and all those things. If we take it in spiritually, okay, and we go with the mindset that this is just a small portion of my eternity and I'm going to grow a little bit so that we go from this level, we go to something or we hear a good sermon and it puts us up here. Then we hear another one and it puts us up here. Okay, then we go through some trauma in life and it brings us down here a little bit. But then we go to hear another sermon, we go to church, we worship, and it puts us up, and we incrementally increase all the way to heaven. Wouldn't that be better than this? Okay, swinging up and down. If we just incrementally, we're going to grow day by day, week by week, we're in this for the long haul, and we're going to grow and get more filled up with God, or more, we're already full, but we're going to grow and understand and receive and experience more and more of what He has for us. Okay, it helps us to get there because God's plan is not that we swing up and down all the time, but His plan is that we slowly but surely incline all the way to heaven. Because your walk with God can't be based on feelings. Okay, it has to be based on faith. Okay, your feelings didn't get you saved. Okay, if it did, you probably aren't walking, you probably wouldn't be here today. Your feelings is not why you initially gave your life to Christ. You came to a realization spiritually that something needed to change. Your flesh and your feelings did not lead you to go to your first church service after you gave your life to Christ. It was the Spirit compelling you that I want to grow. I am now eternally looking forward. You remember some of you, those early days in your Christian life where you gave your life to Jesus and man, life's on fire, and you think of that, and where is that? It's still there, but you've gotten to looking at all the world and start living for this life instead of realizing you just entered the kingdom of God, which is eternal, and in that beginning, that exuberance is all there. Okay, your flesh is not what connects you to God. It is your faith. It always has been and it always will. By faith, see if you can get this. By faith, you read your Bible anyway. And by faith, you believe that you received some insight from God's word, even when what you read may have not given you goosebumps that day. God's word says of itself so many different ways and explains the power of it, that it is a divider of the soul and the spirit. So if that's what it says, and God's word is true, and I believe God's word is true, then I can read it. And even if I don't get goosebumps, okay, even if nothing jumps off the page at me, I know by faith that I receive something from God's word. God's word does not return unto him void. It accomplishes that which he pleases, right? It accomplishes that which God pleases. So if I'm reading it, taking it in, it is doing something in my life spiritually. And by faith, I believe that. By faith, I receive that every time I read or hear a sermon or I worship, I sing along, whatever it is. By faith, you pursue God anyway. Okay? Even if you're not feeling it that day, it's by faith that we do that. We keep ourselves connected to him, thinking that even if he is silent, then by faith, I believe that in that silence, I am still learning and growing from God. Because I'm in a relationship. Maybe this is the day, like I do with my kids sometimes. I'll send them off to do something, and I want to watch. I want to pay attention. I want to make sure it gets done right. But sometimes you send them off to say, you know, and just give them that instruction and let them go. Okay? And sometimes it's just letting them work through that and figure out that, oh, yeah, you need to, whatever, shut the water off before you unhook the hose or you're going to get sprayed in the face. You know, whatever it is, they'll learn that, right? And so there are times that I believe God may be silent, but I'm still growing during that time, even though God is not barking down or shouting orders or whatever, I'm still growing during that time by faith, okay? Because I'm still trusting that God is at work. God is still doing something in my life. Without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to please God, okay? Not only do we know that, but the devil knows that, okay? And he will do anything in his power to diminish your faith. Okay? But we know that God is stronger. We know that God is bigger. It's not even an equal fight. We know that we have God as our overcomer. And we go to him to overcome our adversary. And our walk with God has to be a very deep part of our being. Okay? And that's that marathon stuff I talk about. But it's about going on day after day believing. Okay? Not about believing for a while and then the next day I don't believe. It's about a continual believing. Think about Abraham, the father of faith, right? Can you imagine Abraham going, getting all pumped up? He's all on fire for God. This is great. And then the next day he's not. Or the next month he's not. I believe Abraham looked up at the stars every day and said, God, you're still on the throne. I'm still alive. Let's take another step forward. Okay? And that is that faith. It's continual. It's not based on experiences. It's based on everyday life that I've already entered into a relationship with God. Now I'm just walking it out. Okay? We maintain a steady faith by not being moved by circumstances. Okay? Somebody said, I can't remember who shared that with us the other day, but somebody said something about, I think I do know. But somebody had said something bad had happened in their life and somebody else had said, wow, what did you do? What bad thing did you do that God made that happen to you? Okay, and kind of put that guilt, that condemnation on there. That's not the kind of faith that we have when you know God's word, right? Because God says you're saved. Okay, we're walking with him. God is not going to put those bad things. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Okay? If God says that he will never leave you nor forsake you, then has he withdrawn from you just because you're not hearing from him? Okay? Did God pull back and he decided maybe today I won't be with them? Okay? It doesn't work that way. Okay? To live like a believer, your faith is going to be persevering no matter what's going on around you. Just by faith, I'm still trusting God. God, I know it looks like bad things are happening, but I'm just trusting by faith. We're going to work through this together. Okay? To live like a believer, you will persevere. And I have a few books there. I call them sermon. Was it a book? Sermon in a book. Okay. And I wrote a few of them a couple years ago and put them online. They're on Amazon. I think I have pictures of them in there. One of them was called Your Time to Persevere. Okay, and it was about making progress God's way, and that perseverance emanates in that book because it's about the long haul. Okay, I had another one, Taking a Stand. Right? My subtitle, Encouragement to Persevere. Okay, because Christians, we have to be in it. We have to stand through those tough times and not lose faith. Okay, not lose heart. I think one other one is taking control of your life. And this one is about putting the devil and your circumstances in their places by the words that come out of your mouth. Okay, standing on God's word above all else. Okay, and it's taking control of your life, not just letting the world throw you around, the devil throw you a wrench today and messing things up. You're taking control of your life by using your words and putting the devil in his place. You're helping to guide your circumstances by the power of God instead of letting the world run your life. We want to fight the good fight of faith. Okay? By using our words, we put the devil in those detrimental circumstances in their place. Okay? We fight the good fight of faith when we lay hold on eternal life. Okay? We begin living with that eternal mindset of being an ambassador in the kingdom and fulfilling that calling of God on each one of your lives. We look beyond the natural circumstances and we look into that spiritual realm. Okay? God is a spirit. He saved you by his spirit, by faith, which is spiritual. And we begin to see the forces that are at work behind the scenes. Okay? And then we yield to the Holy Spirit. We yield to God and his word. And as we do this, we continue to press towards the high calling of God. Okay, we let God do what he wants to do so that we accomplish those greater things in the kingdom, in the spiritual kingdom. Hallelujah. Father God, I praise you this morning and I'm thanking you that your word is life to us. I thank you that, Father, you're pointing us in a direction on laying hold on eternal life, living with a heavenly mindset. You're helping us to persevere and to maintain our faith by not giving in to the flesh or emotion or circumstances, but giving in to you and your word, that we trust it above all else, that we know that you are with us, you don't leave us nor forsake us, that your word says that you will prosper and do good things in our life, Lord, that we believe these things. We believe that you sent Jesus. We believe in the cross and the victory that he accomplished through that, and we now live in the victory and we walk it out as believers. Father, I pray that we pursue and that you encourage each person in here and that listens to this, that you'll encourage our faith to the point of persevering no matter what the circumstance is, that we are not moved, but we are yielded to you by faith, trusting that you're in control of things, that you're leading and guiding us, that you're showing us that next step, that you're going to point us in that right direction. We trust in you, we thank you for it, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we say, Amen.